Right, turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, and the title of my message is, How Did We Get Here? How did we get here? I don't mean, you know, creation. I don't mean, how were you born and, you know, test tube baby or whatever. I mean, today, that question could get pretty complicated too. But how did we get here in Daniel chapter 5? Now, we already studied this, but we're going to take another angle on it. And because of that, we're not going to go into the handwriting on the wall. We already did that. So look at Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whiles he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar, some say, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. So I want you to focus on that. They're going to get the vessels, the gold and silver vessels that were taken out of the temple. How did they get there? That's really the focus. That the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then he brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, stone. So the point is not, let's go and look at the same thing we've already studied, but I want to look at how the vessels get there. How did we get here in this problem? And it's interesting because it's a nation of Israel, but it has application to America. It's interesting because it has historical significance and it has everyday-to-day significance. And I am talking about COVID. So, you'll see COVID in here. You'll see judgment. Now, I don't know how much of COVID is judgment, how much of it is just satanic, how much of it is just happenstance, you know. They just, you know, figured out how to shut down a million churches all at once. You know, probably hardly a church stayed open, at least for a period of time. We were closed Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday. Governor said we were essential because we live in the free state of Florida. Yeah, amen. And we opened back up, but none of us really knew what to do. It was all new, fresh ground. And I do believe it was the will of God for us to shut down. Why? Because I think it would have been a terrible testimony to stay open. I could have stood our ground and said, no, we don't care. And then we could have been one of those churches where COVID roared through here and somebody died. You know, or somebody that, you know, had a lot of other extenuating problems died and happened to have COVID, but it doesn't matter. The testimony was shut down. I have no problem with that, but I have told you we will not shut down again. I remember Carrie saying, hey, can we come to church? I went, Carrie, I told everybody they got to stay home. I said, it's going to be Robert and I, and I'm going live. I said, I can't make an exception. I said, because then we're not really shutting down. We're really not, you know, and listen, it was hard on me. I mean, man, I like that. I appreciate that. I remember that. I'll never forget that. And it doesn't mean a lot of you others weren't thinking the same thing. It was just they were the ones that came to me, and a lot of you others were thinking, man, I can't remember what his phone number is. Does he have a cell phone? I get that. Some of you had a lot of problems in getting a hold of me at that time to tell me you wanted to come. Just kidding. And if you're offended, I'm going to offend you a whole lot more during the service anyway. So just get it out of the way. Best to do that. No, I never try to offend anybody. I really don't. Leviticus chapter 25. How do we get here? Look at the book of Leviticus. Now, Leviticus is what? It's the law. Leviticus has the dietary laws. I am not a Jew. I am not a Messianic Jew. I don't want to be a Jew. You know what we had yesterday for lunch? We had shrimp and salmon. Both of them can't eat. We had the Weisers over the other night. You know what we had? Man, we had a smorgasbord, but we had shrimp and we had salmon and we had pork chops. You know, I've got to warn you about cooking. I do a lot of cooking now. And you use a gauge. You stick it in the meat and it tells you what temperature it is. And you're supposed to cook pork. I think it was 185. I can't remember. It was 145, 185. Doesn't matter. I would have cooked it right had I cooked it right. That's telling you I didn't cook it right. So I'm looking at it going, man, this is like 95 degrees on the first side. I go, I'm going to flip it anyway. So I flipped it, and man, that's well, you know, that looks well done on the outside. I flipped two pork chops just in case they didn't like the salmon or the fish and, you know, all that stuff. They had two pork chops. And we still have because they did like the salmon and the shrimp. But don't ever hit that button that says centigrade Fahrenheit, because when you change it to centigrade, you will never reach that temperature on this earth of 145 centigrade. The whole house is going to be burned up. I'm sitting here looking at it going, that temperature is not going up. And then I hit Fahrenheit and it was 210 degrees in that piece of meat. Man, we took it out and played basketball with it later on. See, I don't ever tell stories unless they're apropos. Unless it's telling on me. Leviticus chapter 25, how did we get here? Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the mount, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. You see that? Some of you may not know, but the land had to keep a Sabbath. That means if you had land, every 7 years, you were not allowed to plant, sow, or reap that land. Let's go on. 6 years, verse 2, thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. By the way, this is good for the land. That's, you know, in other words, man, Sabbath's good for man. 6 days shalt thou work, and on the seventh shall be a Sabbath unto man. Man is not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. That's why whenever all these rules they make up are just ludicrous. You can't push a button in an elevator over in Israel on the Sabbath day. Why? Because you don't want to work. That is not the intent of the thing. So you know what happens on Shabbat? You know what happens on the Sabbath day? It stops at every floor. You know how maddening that is unless you're trying to get in shape and use the steps? You know what you do if you're over there on the Sabbath day? You go to Petra in Jordan. Every tour, you leave on right before the Sabbath day and get over to Petra because everything shuts down and it's just weird. But they take it to an extreme. Man's not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath's made for man. Look at verse 4. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap. Neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, that all the increase thereof be meat. You say, how in the world do you go and not plant for people to eat? How are you going to survive? Do you know what it's all about? It's all about God. Some of you worry about things, and you are one of the wickedest sinners that I've ever met. Some of you cocked your head. Talking about me? I'm just kidding. I used to worry all the time. I dare say none of you was as proficient as I am. And if you are, you have got... Well, first of all, if you are and not were... We need to talk because we need to get a pew and you need to lay down and I need to talk to you through all these problems. But I'd lay awake for 3 hours at night and just rerun every single day. Everything that went on, all the things that I said, all the things that people could have misunderstood, all the, you know what it's like to preach and say something? I mean, look, you're going to misunderstand something I say. Is it either now, tonight, Wednesday night, next week, the week after that, the month after that, the year after, you will misunderstand something. You know what I do? I look at it and I say, you know what, Lord, I don't get up there and I don't try to offend people. I'll say things that are just for effect, but I'm not trying to be mean. I have no idea what my point is.
But you weren't mean.
But I wasn't mean. I had a smile on. But how do you... So you worry. Okay, that's what it was. So, you know, here are these Jews. They're going, man, how are we going to eat in that seventh year? It doesn't make sense because it's going to cost us money. How can we do this for 6 years and then let the land rest for a seventh year? Do you realize that's 1/7 of our income? Do you realize how important it is to make sure that every year we've got a bumper crop? And boy, what happens if in the eighth year there's no crop? And then we went to, you know, we did the Sabbath on the seventh year, and the eighth year came and we had nothing to eat. And then we, you know, because we ate all, we weren't even allowed to go out there and prune it and pick it and... Well, God had the solution. Same chapter. Look at verse 20, I think. Yeah, verse 20. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? So this is a legitimate question. Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I, God, will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. Wait a minute. You mean we got to trust God? Think about it. Your whole life and my whole life is trusting God. I mean, that. Think about it. You get up this morning, you drove here. I walked here. I'm the only one. Even Judy drove across because we need cars in the parking lot. I was going to drive, but I stayed longer and took care of something for my wife so she's so surprised when she comes back. It's so good of me to do that. But you all drove here. You all drove here. Do you know what kind of faith it takes to get on a highway? John Sims Parkway or any, you know, Maple Avenue or whatever. Or you realize you got cars going whew, sometimes less than a foot away. It takes faith. You better just trust God. You just got to trust God. You can't get out on the road and not trust God. So what about more practical stuff? What about your daily routine and your daily life? Do you believe that God actually meant that He would give them 3 years worth in the sixth year? Or is it just, you know? But you know what? It's an if-then clause. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat on the seventh year? In other words, that's intent to obey God. You have to have the intent to obey God. If you shall say that, that means you're looking at it, you're saying, well, Lord, what are we going to do? And God says, well, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you three times as much in the sixth year. How did we get here? Israel broke the Sabbath. Israel broke the Sabbath for 7 decades. They didn't keep the Sabbath. Didn't make any sense to them. Hey, if you don't know your Bible, and people aren't teaching the Bible, and the farmer's not listening to the Bible and the preaching and all that, he's not asking the question. He's just looking at it saying, hey, you guys know we had a bumper crop this year, and next year's this seventh year Sabbath thing? Oh, that's just religion. That is our problem too. We have separated what we call secular and religious. Do you know that there is no secular and religious in my life? There shouldn't be any in your life either. None whatsoever. You say, well, I go to the ballpark with my kid. go to the ballpark and be a witness. I don't mean going around with a sign, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. I don't mean that. I don't mean you got to be belligerent. But I mean, are you a witness? Do people know who you are, what you stand for, and what changed your life? If they don't, why not? And I don't mean you got to talk to every single person. You ought to pray about everybody you talk to, and you ought to get the leading of God. And you ought to get the leading of God on what you say, how you say it, when you say it. But you do need to say it. You need to treat every endeavor that you are involved in as from God. And if you can't, then you got to evaluate whether God's in it. Can you ask God to bless it? If you can't ask God to bless something you're doing, you know what? There's a problem with your doing. That's it. Now listen, I can't say I've asked God to bless everything I've ever done in my life, and the answer is no, I have not. I told you I passed somebody on the road the other day, and I guarantee I didn't say, "Lord, bless me." You know, that's okay. We don't hear it up here. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. That is unusual. I have not heard that one before. I did like it though. I probably won't, but I'll tell you, my phone was having problems a little while, you know, a year ago, and it was doing things that were just wacko. It was like, I gotta leave it in the car or just turn it off. But you know how it is. I can't be without my phone. I have to be able to be contacted just in case some of you have sneezed or something and I need to know about it. R2D2, thank you. Thank you. I needed further information on that. I really did. At least we know what it is, so now all of us can understand that we got a Trekkie, but it's not really a Trekkie, it's a Star Warsy. I get that. Don't worry. I didn't lose my mind. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, look at verse 15. The Bible says, "And the Lord God of their father sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place." Now, let me make a point there. Do you know why I am a preacher? Do you know why we have church? And that is because God has compassion on you. I mean, either that or we're just going through the motions. What's church all about? Well, church is all about you growing. So it's all about getting the lost saved. Doesn't happen very often in church. You know what you do to get the lost saved? You go be a witness. Oh, well, we invite them in. How did you get them in? Did you talk to them about the Lord? In other words, this is more about helping people grow. And you know what it's about? It's about God being compassionate to us. Because He gives us the opportunity to hear from His Word, to learn lessons from His Word. It's not all about the fellowship, and I love the fellowship. I love the handshake and time. I love the offering. I do. Young man over here, I saw him get up and that smile on his face, and he's walking over there, and I'm like, man, I got to do that again. So next week, y'all be looking like this. Y'all be looking over there watching him. Verse 16. Look at what they did. "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy." They ran out of options. We have a God of remediation. But at some point, it all stops. In chapter 7, go ahead and hold your place here. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I think it'll be a familiar verse to most of you. Verse 14, and some people say, well, you can't apply this outside of Israel. And I do believe you can. Let's look at what it says. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name..." So you can't use that. It's Israel. I get it. Historical situation, it's Israel. The promise is Israel. But you don't think the application goes outside of that? If my people were called by my name, are you called by his name? I am. Who is he? Jesus Christ. What am I called? A Christian. Oh, well, that was given to us in mockery. The Bible says they were first called Christians at Antioch. I am called by his name. But historical significance. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. So let's apply it to America. Let's apply it to you as an individual. If you'll humble yourself, God will take care of it. You don't believe that? Oh, no, that's Israel. It can't be applied to us. That is so dumb. So dumb that anybody would stick to that when the Bible doesn't teach that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll ignore them from heaven because you're not Israel. You see what I mean? I mean, it doesn't make sense. The principle's there. You know what America needs to do? America needs to humble themselves, pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, heal their land. You don't think God can heal this land? Sure he can. You don't think God wants to heal this land? Sure he does. Sure he does. Look on that back wall and you see missionaries all across that back wall. You know what happens if this land goes under and we can no longer send money and support and all of that to missionaries? They can't stay on the field. How do you do it? Humble yourself. Pray. Seek his face. I don't care what the historical situation is. It's humility, prayer, seeking his face, turning from wickedness. If this country would do those four things, we'd have a revival in this country. You know what happened when revivals came into a city? The bars shut down. You know why bars shut down? Because people got right with God. People stopped looking for mirth and enjoyment. You know, there were many people, and one of them was asked, he was the song leader for one of the crusades, you know, crusades back 50 years ago. You got Billy Graham crusade, let's just say one of those. They would ask him, well, how did you do anything different? They said, no, we sang the same hymns you're singing today. Preach the same Bible you're preaching today. Well, then what was different? When that group came into that city with a quartet or a trio, it was the greatest show on earth. Now, man, you got so many distractions. You could bring somebody in. You could bring in a group. You could set up a tent. And it's like, what? What? We're going to go out and be hot and sweat? Cold? No, they came to hear the music and heard the gospel. Change lives. God can do that in this country. So back to 2 Chronicles. They got to where there's no remedy. In verse 16, I hope we're not there. No remedy. I hope we're not there. Verse 17, therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. Who gave them all in their hand? God did. God gave them all in their hand. Who? Man, the maidens, the old man, young man, those that stooped for age. That's really old. That's my age. Verse 18, that was a joke. I don't stoop for age. Hello. Verse 18, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king, and of the princes, all these he brought to Babylon. How did we get there? Right here. Right there. How did we get there? How in Daniel chapter 5 are they getting those vessels out and committing that great sin because they were things dedicated to the Lord and knowingly dedicated under the laws of Israel? How'd they get there? Because God had no more remedy for this people. And they brought the vessels there. Verse 19, and they burnt the house of God. and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burn all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. I want you to think about that. You know, Daniel was one of those that was taken. And the three other young men that were mentioned in Daniel, they were taken in this group. Daniel, it said, was 17 years old. What type of place was he being taken from? Well, it had the temple, had the house of God. It was a good, godly place. No, it was reprobate. So much so that God sent somebody in there from the Chaldees and said, destroy it all. Destroy it all. Take them all captive. Verse 20, and them that had escaped from the sword carried away to Babylon. So those that escaped from the sword, meaning they lived, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. 70 years they didn't keep the Sabbath. And God says, I'll show you how to get my Sabbath. I'll burn every house. I'll burn your temple. I'll take you captive because I'm done. I've warned you and warned you and warned you. By the way, America, how many times have you heard? Now, I was at a meeting not long ago, and I told you a little bit about it. The guy was an expert on the Supreme Court. They break our laws every time they hear a case. The law is supposed to be that there's a question as a matter of law, and that's brought that question is brought before the Supreme Court. You know what the Supreme Court does? It looks at a case and says, we got a question about that case. They make up the question and answer the question because they want to wax eloquent in their briefs. No, they're still wearing pants and dressed, but their briefs are what they write. So they want to wax eloquent in their briefs. They want to go, we decided because we're so smart, and they're going to make law against law. The legislature makes law, not the Supreme Court. Oh, the Supreme Court is the supreme law of the land. No, it's not. It's one branch of three. Legislative, executive, judicial. And they are usurping over every other branch. And I'm not saying we can turn off the spigot. The quagmire's there. We're in the sinking sand. Just try to, you know, keep your head above. But, you know, this country is being destroyed because of a bunch of... the war in... So I asked him, I said, what about 1963 when they made all these laws, or they overturned all these laws, no Bible in school? And he said that one of the regrets of the president, I can't remember if he said Eisenhower, was Earl Warren and the Warren Court. They came in there and just said, no precedent, 1963. No Bible in school, no prayer in school, no Bible reading in school, no precedent at all. Changed everything. Here's the thing. We've known the problem for a long time, so what do? We put conservative justices on there like Roberts. Who isn't conservative? You know. They do enough just to get on the court, and then they get on the court, and they're religious people. Your Congress is run by religious people. Go look up whether they're religious, and you'll find out they are. And go find out if that Supreme Court is religious, you'll find out they are. The best Supreme Court justice we've had is Thomas. Thomas. He is doing the best job, according to this expert. And I will tell you this, I would trust him more than I trust myself. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, this is going to give you the prophecy being fulfilled of the 70 years. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon. His first year. The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people. He's speaking to all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me. So the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. And I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. That's the problem. And the Lord hath sent unto you all His servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now every one from his evil way. This is the message they have. And from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and to provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. There's the warning. I'll do you no hurt if you'll do this. But you know what? You know what the alternative is? God's going to do them some hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my word. What do you mean they heard it? Yeah, but they didn't have ears to hear. They didn't listen. You can hear and not hear. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. Who's his servant? A godless king is his servant to bring judgment. And will bring them against this land, against the inhabitants thereof, and against all the nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, no marriages, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. He'll shut down all your factories. He'll shut down all your places of work. He said, the voice of mirth, he'll shut down all your concerts, all your sporting events, all your bars, all your restaurants. See the application? I didn't know they could do it. You didn't know they could do it. And if you knew they could do it, if you knew 2 years ago, plus a month, 2 years. Remember, we're in it now. No, yeah, it's just starting right now, 2 years ago. I remember because I've got videos of Landon down here 2 years ago, over here from Texas. And right after that, the whole world turned upside down. We were trying to find toilet paper. He took their concerts, sporting events. He closed their churches. Do you think all the churches could close down at one time? That's where we are in America. And the application can come from what we see historically. If you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. Verse 11, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. Man, America's turned in 2 years. We've turned from energy independence to strong nationally, worldwide, to respected. You say, oh, we're respected. That guy had mean tweets. I look forward to a mean tweet today compared to, you know, a mean tweet, you know, I love America versus the guy that doesn't even know he's in America. Verse 11, these nations shall serve the king of Babylon how many years? 70 years. Now see, you're not told here that the reason is they didn't keep the land Sabbaths. But you're told that when we looked at the other one. Look at 2 Kings chapter 25. 2 Kings chapter 25. Verse 1. And it came to pass in the ninth year of the reign of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all the host against Jerusalem, pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about, and the city was besieged on the 11th year of King Zedekiah, and on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. There is a famine in the land. This is the fulfillment of the warning from 9 years earlier. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about. The king went and the way toward the plain. The army of the Chaldees pursued after the king, overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army were scattered from him. They took the king, brought him up unto the king of Babylon, to Riblah. They gave judgment upon him. They slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Last thing he sees, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. Verse 9, and he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the house of Jerusalem, every great man's house, burned he with fire, and all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard break down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Verse 21, the end of it. So Judah was carried away out of their land. Turn to Daniel chapter 1. All of that was preliminary. Now I'm going to preach to you for a few minutes. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel's in that group. There are three men with him, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And by the way, you should know those names, not just the Babylonian names. And the reason you know the Babylonian names, because when they're thrown in the fiery furnace, the story that's always told has the Babylonian names. That's why you remember it. But their God-given names are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. It's important to know that. Verse 1, third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon and Jerusalem, to besiege and besieged it. Same story. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, his land with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar, in the house of his God. And he brought the vessels unto the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs. Who is he over? He's over the eunuchs. Now watch. That he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Children whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to understand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldees. Here's a guy. Here's what they've done. They're taking children, and they're reconditioning them. Like our school system does. Now, we have teachers in the school system. Thank the Lord you're there. We have children in the school system. God bless you. Stay true. We're going to see somebody that is brought up in a godless nation who is taken captive because they didn't do what God said, brought to Babylon, and we're going to see what he does. Verse 5, the king appointed them a daily presbyter. And by the way, if he is... the master of the eunuchs, and Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are under him. What's happened? They're eunuchs. They will have no children. They will never be a grandparent, which is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Their future is, and listen, they're there 70 years no matter what. What would you do? Oh man, 70 years. God's judged us. I just quit. A lot of us would do that. Daniel's not going to do that. Verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he's drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So for 3 years, they got to eat this king's meat, which it may have been offered to idols. That was the problem with the law. You can't just eat a meat that's offered to idols, and you can't just eat pork. You can't just say, well, I'm going to eat whatever I want. These guys are still Jews. But wait a minute. Daniel's 17 years old. What can a 17-year-old do? Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart, that's where you start, by the way, purpose in your heart, that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested, notice he was respectful, of the prince of the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. He was not demanding. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The guy says, man, you're a good guy. I like you. I like your demeanor. I like the way you are. And he has favor with him. By the way, it's okay to have favor in this city, favor in this state, and really try to help people out in doing so. Verse 10, the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worst, liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me danger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Pulse to eat. Just mushed vegetables. Pulse to eat. Now here's the point. What would you do? You're 17 years old. You just left. You've just gotten taken captive. You watched your whole past get burnt up. The temples burn up. The houses are destroyed. You're separated from your family. You've got no future. 70 years, God's pronounced you're going to be there. If I'm 17, I'm 87. When I get out, I'm an old man. I got no past, no future, no hope. And now I'm going to sit there and I'm starving. There was a famine in the land. Remember that? And now I'm going to tell them I'm not going to eat your meat, which is delicate and delicious and looks great. You can set it before me. I don't want to eat it. Please don't make me defile myself. Just prove us. Will you prove us? And he went ahead with it. 17 years old, he stood up better than most of the others. Or all the others except for 4 of them. When he said bow down to that image, it is estimated that there are hundreds of thousands of Jews in Babylon at that time. 3 got thrown in the fiery furnace. Do you know if 100,000 didn't bow, these 3 would not have stood out and they probably wouldn't have burned 100,000 people? But because only 3 bowed down, those 3 stood out, they threw in the fiery furnace, but you know the story. Why do you know the story? Because they stood their ground as young men. Because as young men, they said, we won't eat the king's meat, we won't be defiled, we won't bow. You don't have any Daniels in the lion's den if you don't have this story right here at 17 years old. You don't have any reading of the handwriting on the wall. Daniel converted 2 kings in his lifetime. Why? Because at 17 years old, he said, I'm going to stand for God no matter what is put before me. I can't tell you what I'm going to do in the future. Things don't look bright. I've told you that for a while. I am not gloom and doom. I'm not. I have too much fun living life to be doom and gloom, but I'm also a realist. I said inflation's going to hit. You remember, Robert? I said, man, we need to look at, you know, food stuff and all that. And we didn't do it. Food's terrible. We didn't do it. We tried it. Tried 1 week's worth or something. And I was like, you know, it's just a waste of money. I went out and bought Spam. I told you that. I just bought a couple things of Spam. You say, that's disgusting too, but yeah, it's cheap. And I could eat Spam. Well, because I'm not that picky. I just throw some Spam on there, some cheese, goat's milk. I don't even know if I've ever had goat's milk. Just scaring some of you that in case you came over to eat, that's what we'd feed you. I could make Spam a delicacy though. I just wouldn't tell you what it was. Just kidding. I'm not Hollett and his mystery meat, which I really like. Prove thy servants, verse 12, beseech thee 10 days, let them give us pulse, verse 13. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them this matter, and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances were better than the others. Verse 17. And as for these four children, four what? Children.